You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive getting underway here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Happy Friday to you. Congratulations, you have made it. Another weekend is upon us here in East Tennessee on a scorching hot Friday afternoon. Live today at National Law Rex alongside Bear, I'm Russell Smith. Be with you from 3 until 6 here on The Drive this afternoon. Getting the weekend started off, always good to be back out amongst the Farraguttians out here in West Knoxville, National RX, Farragut's Neighborhood Community Pharmacy. We got some piping hot Jets pizza for you. I don't think anybody's been into it yet. I don't even know what we've got. I'm sure it's delicious. Come out here, check us out. We'll feed you a little bit. You can get registered for the grand prize giveaway, season tickets to Tennessee football, spots on the bus to Charlotte for the West Virginia game, a $300 gift card to Alumni Hall to buy as much UT gear as that will afford you. And you can come on out and get registered for that this afternoon. Bear, how you doing?
Not bad, Russ. Not bad at all.
Ready for a big weekend?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. Very understated, Bear. All right, SEC Media Days is over. It has come. It has gone. Some takeaways for you. Well, first of all, they released the official predictions from the 1,000 or so media gathered on site this week down in Atlanta. And the expectations for Tennessee, I would say they couldn't be any lower. They could be a little bit lower, but next to lowest, I suppose. Pick to finish sixth in the East, behind Missouri, behind Kentucky, only ahead of Vanderbilt. So the expectations next to nil for this Tennessee team. How does that strike you, Bear?
I mean, it's laughable. I think we're going to surprise a lot of people.
Well, I thought it would be fifth or sixth. I'm going to say it doesn't really surprise me. It doesn't really surprise me. You know, I think that people who watch Tennessee, and here's the thing, man. Tennessee fans will look at it through orange color glasses and say, yeah, well, the media doesn't know about the grad transfers that we added. They don't know about, you know, how much more competent Jeremy Pruitt is than Butch Jones was. They don't know about Craig Fitzgerald and the strength and conditioning program that Tennessee has. And okay, all that stuff is true, but
they're never right.
It's also true that we don't know whatever's going on behind the scenes at Florida, at Georgia, at Kentucky, all that stuff. So that works both ways.
I mean, I don't pay any attention to it simply because they're never right. Well, they aren't. They're literally very rarely are they correct on this stuff.
Brandon, who picked? Did they pick Georgia and Alabama last year?
I'm not sure about the East. I mean, I know they picked Alabama. I can check real quick.
Last year they picked Auburn to win the West. They picked Georgia to win the East. But then they did that deal where they picked Alabama to win the SEC. You don't remember that?
No, all the years run together.
It was like, how is Alabama going to win the SEC if Auburn wins the West? It was just real goofy.
I think we were picked third, if I recall correctly. Yeah, it's, you know, I think that Alabama and Georgia, the runaway winners, people, they're picking Alabama to win the conference overall, 193 votes to be crowned SEC champion on December 1st in Atlanta, while Georgia was second with 69 votes. Georgia selected to win the East with 1,977 points. I don't know how the point thing works, but they had the most of it. Tennessee did get one first place vote for the East. So did Kentucky.
Florida, anybody figure out who did that?
I don't know. I wonder. I guess somebody could step forward and reveal themselves, but that does kind of hurt the credibility of the poll, right?
I mean, I don't know. It's funny.
Trey Smith, the lone Tennessee representative on any of the all-SEC teams. He makes first team on offensive line. That's about it.
I mean, it's just heavy Georgia and Alabama, right?
I mean, it's, you know, you've got Drew Locke, first-team quarterback. You've got Benny Snell, first-team running back. A.J. Brown, Debo Samuel, Albert Okwuegbunam from Missouri is first-team tight end. Jonah Williams, Alabama, offensive line. Greg Little, Ole Miss, offensive line. Martez Ivey from Florida. Trey Smith and Ross Piersbacher from Alabama. So you got three first-teamers from the Tide and no first-team offensive players from Georgia, interestingly enough. Georgia making up for it on the defensive side of the ball. This is a second team Georgia has. DeAndre Swift, Terry Godwin, offensive lineman Andrew Thomas, and center Lamont Galliard. So they got four second teamers. Jake Fromm tied with Nick Fitzgerald for a third team quarterback. Pretty deep league in the quarterback department for the SEC this year. We had slacked off a little bit in that a couple of years ago. Really good quarterbacks in the league this year.
Stidham, Bentley, Shermer,
Drew Locke, and Nick Fitzgerald.
Wonder who's going to end up starting down in Bama. That's how that's going to shake out.
My money's on Tua. I wonder if they can find out a way to get them both to play. Interestingly enough, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong in this, I am not, by any stretch of the imagination, an Alabama football expert.
Roll down Tide.
But I believe I heard Nick Saban say this week at Media Days that Hurts could graduate in December, which to me would make it smart on his part if he can graduate. No matter what happens, even if you lose out to Tua and you don't play this year, either try and redshirt or just take the hit, and then you can graduate and go anywhere you want.
How many years would he have left?
One. If he plays, he would have one.
If he redshirts,
he would have two. And here's the question. You know where I'm going with this, right? If he's a grad transfer and he has 1 year to play,
will we take him here?
Would Jeremy want him?
I don't know. The better move for him would probably be, honestly, FAU if Kiffin was still down there.
Yeah, I think that
if you've got 1 year to, I mean, because he can throw the ball. I mean, he's got a cannon. I mean, if he wanted to just spend a year getting polished by Kiffin, that's what I would do if I were him. Unless he just wants to change positions, but
might be fun to come up here and stick it to Bama, because we might be pretty good next year. He comes up here.
Yeah,
especially,
I don't know, man. I'm really not. Well, I wouldn't want to get into that deal where we've got, you know, Keller Chris this year, 1 year quarterback. Jalen Hurts next year, 1 year quarterback. You want to ride on that train for a couple of 3 years?
Well, if Garantano wins the job, he probably wouldn't come here, Hurts, even if he could.
Right.
But if Chris wins the job and Garantano transfers, we'll probably be in the market for another fifth-year transfer, unless they just see something out of JT Schrout or Will McBride that they love, or they think this Maurer kid is the next big thing and can win the job as a true freshman. I mean, what would you rather have in year two here in Knoxville?
A young
McBride, who I think we probably both agree is tough guy and everything, but probably not an upper-level SEC quarterback.
Schrout kid's huge. Have you seen pictures of him?
Young, untested JT Schrout, or two
freshmen.
Schrout
or Stroud?
Schrout.
Schrout.
Or Maurer. I would want the fifth year. If he's good enough, I would want Jalen Hurts above all those options as it stands right now.
I mean, I think it'd be like having Dobbs back. I think they're very similar.
I mean, would you not love to have Josh Dobbs back under competent coaching? Sign me up. I mean, listen, it's college football, man. This is how it is now. There's borderline free agency in this sport, and You can hate on it all you want, but at the end of the day, you either take advantage of it or you let your opponents take advantage of it and beat you with it. So I think Jeremy Pruitt, I mean, what we've got, what, three grad transfers this year, and they're pretty much all expected to contribute in some meaningful way. I think that it's a situation where Jeremy Pruitt's going to embrace that as long as he can, and especially now that the SEC has declared that once you graduate, you can go anywhere. So the days of Nick Saban blocking a transfer somewhere like he tried to do with Brandon Kennedy and Maurice Smith, those days are over.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. That'd be weird. Don't you think it'd be, I don't know. It'd just be too weird to me.
Why? Just because he's the quarterback. You don't have a problem with Brandon Kennedy.
Oh, hell no. We need Lyman. He's got 2 years.
Well, we need a quarterback. What's the difference?
That extra year.
Oh. So if Hurts had 2 years, you would be fine with it?
I don't know about fine, but...
Oh, why is it fine for an offensive lineman and it's not fine for a quarterback?
If it was a quarterback that could... The whole thing, you can pretty much put this on Keller Chris, too. The reason these guys are transferring is they couldn't beat out the guy at the school they were at.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're, it's not like we're getting Peyton Manning or Casey Clawson or T. Martin.
Well, no, but, I mean, Hurts did take Alabama to the national championship game as a true freshman. He's getting beat out by what appears to be a really talented, phenomenal young prospect in Tagovailoa. I wouldn't have any problems with it. Seems like a good, upstanding kid. Never heard of him getting any trouble or anything like that. I thought he handled the benching in the championship game in a very mature manner. And I would – listen, if Garantano doesn't win the job and he's not the guy going forward for a couple of years, and we have like a wide-open quarterback situation next year, bring me Jalen Hurts. All right, didn't mean to go off on that tangent here, but it is an interesting conversation. Tennessee picked to finish sixth in the East today. Any other takeaways you had from SEC media days now as talking season is fully underway, according to the head ball coach, and start of fall camp just a little under 2 weeks away?
No, I mean, it was fairly – I mean, there wasn't really any big controversy past that day when Pruitt got ambushed, I felt like, by the Rick era.
It was the story of SEC Media Days this year. So weird. Like, we didn't even expect it.
I mean, Mullen had those ugly shoes. I mean, that's the only thing really I can recall.
To me, the big takeaway is Jeremy Pruitt, cool under pressure. Such the opposite of Butch Jones. You know, Butch Jones had the...
He looked comfortable in his own skin.
Yeah, and he came off very defensive and, coming at the media a little bit and all that stuff. And Jeremy Pruitt looked like he really handled it well this week, I thought. We'll take a quick break here. Your thoughts, SEC Media Days, takeaways, anything we didn't cover, would love to hear from you. We'll throw open the McKinney team phone lines this afternoon at 865-546-8200. 546-8200, your number to get on the drive. Brandon Orrick back in the Fan Run studios, patiently awaiting your phone calls. We'll take a quick break and be right back with more after this.
The Drive. Hold on to your fanny packs, ladies. This is The Drive.
It's time for the Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smokin' Hot Question of the Day. Brought to you by Rickard Ridge Barbecue, located in Cove Lake State Park. Online at rickardridgebbq.com.
Oh. All right, two-part hot question here this afternoon, Bear. Where will Tennessee finish in the East if you disagree with the media that picks us to finish sixth? Next to last in the East, where will Tennessee finish? And are our expectations too high coming into the season? Expectations around this year's team. Your thoughts, 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show, Brandon Orrick will greet you as you call in this afternoon on the McKinney team phone lines, 546-8200. Where do we finish in the East? Are the expectations from the fans too high heading into 2018?
I think we're going to finish probably in that 3-4 range somewhere. Either three. I think we'll finish either 3 or 4. And I don't know. I mean, some people have unreal expectations. Some people don't really expect anything.
On the whole, you know, do you – I feel like
– No, I think everybody's just excited that Butch Jones isn't our coach anymore, Russ, more than anything. I think they're excited to see the team again. It'll be, you know, like we were talking about the other day, kind of like the final send-off.
Yeah.
It'll be over completely.
I think we're going to finish better than sixth in the East. And, you know, I asked myself, man, am I seeing more than actually there? And I just think Kentucky, Missouri, Florida, one of those teams will finish behind us along with Vanderbilt. I would pick us fifth if I had a vote down there. I don't think the expectations necessarily – are too high. I think some people's expectations are a little bit out of whack. Not pointing fingers, but some people out there who are predicting Tennessee to go 9-3 won't name any names. People who might have expectations a little bit too high. Certainly nobody on this show who may or may not be sitting next to me right this instant.
No, man. You're acting like I've gone full sheep, and I think we're just going to go 9-3 because, you know, I think he's some kind of miracle worker, and we're going to have, you know, some kind of – I have a theory that there's enough talent over there. There's a lot – I just think there was a lot more talent over there than – they were just coached so poorly by Butch. That's it. It wouldn't surprise me.
So you think this is a Buzz Peterson, Bruce Pearl situation?
I think it could be. Remember how shocked we were that year?
Well, I've been pretty consistent all summer long. I don't think we were 4-18. I know Bill Parcells would say you are what your record says you are. I don't think that applies here. I don't think we were 4-18. I think we were about a 7-5, 8-4 team that just had a coach who had lost control of his team very early in the season, and the season got away from him. So I think that anytime you have a coaching change, there's an adjustment period for players. I think that Tennessee will be a much improved team in year two, 2019, under Jeremy Pruitt than they are this year in year one. But I think that it's going to take some time to adapt. And even if they do throw up a 6-6 type season this year, that doesn't necessarily mean that the players are inadequate. It might mean that the defensive scheme that they're installing is much more complex than the one Bob Shoop was running. It might mean that offensively you're adjusting to a new system. It might mean guys need a year to get in shape under new there's a variety of factors, a wide spectrum of factors that could contribute to a lackluster record. But I do think that I think there are more people whose expectations are too high than there are whose expectations are too low. I've only heard from a couple of people who feel like 5-7 is on the table.
The one I have heard, I don't know. I mean, you know the guys I run around with. A couple of them are pretty bad negative Nancys.
So where's the barometer at right now?
8-4, 9-3. If we don't get any injuries and if it is the same situation like when Bruce Pearl came in here, I just think that, you know, they could have a good season.
Brandon Orrick back at the Fan Run Studios. Open up your mic. What do you think about today's Rickard Ridge Hot Question? Where do you expect Tennessee to finish in the East this year, and are the expectations of the fan base too high?
I'll say I expect maybe about 4, maybe 5. Maybe that's where I expect them to finish. And I don't think expectations are too high this year. I mean, I think most people kind of know what to expect. I mean, got 6-6, maybe a 7-5 if things go right. So I think about fourth or fifth is as best as you can hope for.
I think that, So you said fifth in the East, or did you say higher?
I mean, if things go well, I think you could see them finishing fourth, but probably fifth, yeah.
And Bear, you're going in the, quote, 3-4 range.
Yeah.
I think they definitely finish fifth. I think you're better than Vandy and Kentucky for sure, and maybe you can make that jump ahead of Missouri or whoever, Florida, South Carolina, whoever it might be.
It's just such a strange schedule, opening with West Virginia. It's kind of a pivotal matchup there early. If you win that one, as we talked about several times, I think that you could be a favorite heading into the Florida game. They come up here, and you're lucky to get Florida here. You're lucky to get Kentucky in Knoxville this season. Those winnable games that could go either way, a couple of them, Missouri comes to mind. You've got them in Knoxville this year, and I think that's going to help Tennessee perhaps exceed the expectations of the media coming in to this one. Steve-O on Twitter says, my expectations are to be competitive in every game and hopefully make it to a bowl. That's it. I think that's a wise tweet from Steve-O. I think that it's one of those things, fans don't like to hear it, but embrace the process kind of thing. Don't put a number on it. You take it game by game, and if you are competitive, I mean, if we're competitive with Georgia and Alabama, well, that's a step forward from last year, because they were non-competitive in those two rivalry games.
I mean, yeah. I mean, we'll probably go 7-5. I just think there is a chance. I mean, are you disputing that?
What? No, I'm picking 6-6. I mean, sure, there's a chance.
You really think we're going 6-6?
That would be my guess right now, but I mean, that changes if you beat, because I think we're going to lose to West Virginia. But if they win that game, which isn't out of the question, then to me that changes the complexion of the entire season. Because all of a sudden, then Florida's in play. And if you win that one, you're 4-0. I don't see the season – I don't see fans jumping off the bandwagon and say, oh, you know, whatever, we'll come back next year. I don't see the players giving up. I don't see the coaches saying, oh, well, we're just going to play young guys. No, I mean, at that point, you're in the thick of it. And I don't harbor any illusions of beating Georgia or Auburn or Alabama, but you beat South Carolina, you meet Florida, you meet everybody else except for those three teams. So it's I just think it hinges on what happens early in the season in September.
I mean, West Virginia is the key to it all.
865-546-8200, your number to get on the show this afternoon. Hot question brought to you by Rickard Ridge Barbecue. You check them out online at rickardridgebbq.com, home of delicious Memphis-style barbecue and the best ribs in the Volunteer State. They're located in beautiful Cove Lake State Park. Again, rickardridgebbq.com. Had a note from one of the servers up there over Facebook that said several of y'all went up there this past weekend and let them know that you hear the advertising on the drive. Can't tell you how much that means to me and the fan-run family when y'all go out and support sponsors and let them know that you heard about it here on Fox Sports Knoxville. That makes it work. That makes it work. That makes it possible for Bear and I to come down to National RX on a Friday afternoon, hang out, and talk some sports with you. So pretty, pretty good stuff. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Your phone calls coming up next here on The Drive. It is Fox Sports Knoxville. Stay with us.
The Drive. Now, back to
to The Drive on Fox Sports Knoxville.
So what happened? What's the deal with this boat in Missouri that capsized, like 17 people died?
Yeah, apparently it's some kind of amphibious.
Like it's a it goes around on the ground,
yeah,
on the land.
Yeah, the article I read about it was they use these kinds of boats during World War II. But apparently they travel around Branson.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're like trolleys or whatever, you know.
And then they just
the people ride
down a dock into the water or
into
something?
The water, and they go around the lake. I don't know the name of the lake, but a really, really bad thunderstorm blew up. Have you watched a video of it?
No.
The storm?
Oh, no. Oh, I've seen some of these videos. Was it related to the tornadoes that hit Iowa yesterday?
I mean, it might have been. I don't know. But there were like white caps and big waves on this lake. And these things aren't real. I mean, they're not built to withstand that kind of – they have no business being on a lake in that kind of weather.
So like somebody did a bad job. I mean, that's going to be a terrible lawsuit because somebody didn't look at the weather.
Right. Which you would think at a town like that that's so dependent on tourism and you've got all this stuff going on that there would be somebody in some position of authority that would monitor the weather on the lake. If you've got these kinds of boats,
yeah, I mean,
with old people and little kids on them.
Oh, have you ever been on a body of water when a storm hits?
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
Uh-huh.
I've been in, you know, on a boat out here on Fort Loudoun Lake before when, big, you know, storm rolls up. And it's before the days of cell phones and everything when, you know, you could just look and everybody was a meteorologist. You had access to the radar and everything.
You had plenty of time to get off the lake before it hit.
All of a sudden, yeah, all of a sudden, boom, like there's lightning and and you're on the water in a boat. That is terrifying.
Yeah, I've been there on Fort Loudoun. So I've been in the Gulf during a bad storm. And then I've been in a really bad storm in on the Atlantic side.
A terrible 17 people. So, like, these people, I guess they didn't have life jackets or anything?
There were life jackets on the boat, but they don't know if they were – I don't think the victims were wearing them.
Well, obviously not. And then these tornadoes in Iowa. Did you see some of, like, those pictures where you can see three or four funnel clouds coming down?
It was like – What was it?
Oh,
2012,
man.
That movie?
Yeah, it
multiple
was.
Multiple tornadoes and.
Just absolutely terrifying stuff. Absolutely terrifying. Okay, Alex on Twitter says, media picked us 13th in basketball, too. I love it. Bring it on. That is true. That is true. Tennessee was picked to finish next to last in basketball, won the league. Picked to finish next to last in the East in football.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think that's a fair comparison. We were in year three of the rebuild with, you know, a first ballot Hall of Fame coach. I don't think that was last year's basketball performance would be as surprising as if this Tennessee team somehow finished second or even third in the East.
Debo on Twitter makes a great point. Remember the new redshirt rule, talking about Jalen Hurts. If Hurts only plays in four games or less as a backup, he can still redshirt. And if he graduates, he would have 2 years.
I thought Boom. About that.
Boom.
I bet you Saban makes sure that he plays in more than four games this year.
Well, I mean, if you're Hurts and Tua's won the job and they start putting you in games and you play that fourth game, but it's pretty clear too as the starter. What do you do at that point? If you're Jalen Hurts, you don't want
my hamstrings hurt.
You don't want to quote unquote quit on your team, but you also don't want to waste a potential year of eligibility. If you feel like you're going to graduate and you could have 2 years, you don't want to potentially waste a year.
No, you look out for number one.
Just backing up Tua.
Because Nick Saban's looking out for number one.
Oh, and it gets back to the Jalen Hurd debate that we had out here last year. Oh, he quit on his team. He quit on Butch Jones because Butch Jones was lying to him. What do you do when you have a boss that's a liar? Eventually, you quit. Like, you don't just stick it out. So I wouldn't blame him in that situation. especially came. So Jalen Hurts, if he had 2 years, would you want him here as a grad transfer?
Yeah, I'd take him in that case, probably.
I would. I'd take him with 1 year.
I know you would.
Love me some Jalen Hurts. Love me a mobile quarterback, man. I just love me a dual threat. Love the dual threat.
I wonder who his recruiter was to Alabama. We're really going down this rabbit hole again.
Hey, man, if they can't get on the field down there, we'll take them up. There's no shame. There's no shame. That roster is full of five stars. It's very hard to get on the field at Alabama. I mean, that kid took them to the national championship. They probably should have won the game as a true freshman. And he's cruising through. They're dominating people last year. And then he starts struggling in the championship game. They bring this Tua kid off the bench. Nobody's really seen him play. And he starts balling out. Like, it's not a thing where Hurts isn't very good. It's a thing where that Tua kid is
just as good as he is.
Better. He's the real deal. Great player.
I mean, he played great in that game, but that's the other way of looking at it. I mean, how's he going to react to just the week in, week out grind of the SEC this year? Is he going to be sturdy enough? He's not real big. What's Tua, like 6 foot?
I think they're both kind of the same size. Hurts
might be a little taller.
Might be a little sturdier. I don't know. Maybe he switches to running back. I mean, that's the other thing is you have to start looking at if you're him, uh-huh. You have to start looking at your future after college.
Right.
I don't think Jalen Hurts is a NFL quarterback.
I don't think either one of them are.
I don't think he's accurate enough. I could see Tua. I could see Tua make it in the NFL. I think he's a little bit more accurate thrower. If you're Hurts and the coaches say, hey, listen, man, we love you and everything you've meant to the program, and we want to keep you. Why don't you play a little running back or receiver?
You'd be probably better at receiver.
And see if we can't get you in the league, get you paid that way. If I were him, I'd be open to those suggestions. Rickard Ridge Barbecue, smoking hot question. Let's check your at Fox Sports Knox Twitter poll results. Where will Tennessee finish in the SEC East this year? 55% of the audience says 3 or 4. 36% say 5 or 6, 6% going 1 or 2, and only 3% say Tennessee will finish 7th. So over half the audience right now saying 3 or 4. That's why I asked the question. That's why I asked the question if our expectations as a fan base aren't a little bit too much right now. Because that's a pretty big discrepancy. You got the media saying we're going to, you know, Tennessee's 6th best team in the East. And you've got the fan base, over half of them, saying, no, we're going to finish 3rd or 4th. I'm going a little high. I'm saying 5th. There are people out there who think we're going to finish 3rd or 4th. Will you be disappointed, those of you who think we're going to finish 3rd or 4th, if we don't?
I mean, I won't be disappointed. I mean, I'd be pretty badly disappointed if we finished in 7th. It means we've lost to Kentucky and Vanderbilt again.
That would be a red flag.
5 to 6, I can't stomach 5 or 6 because you're losing to Kentucky or Vanderbilt in that situation, aren't you?
I mean, I want to beat Florida and Georgia and all those teams just as badly as the next person. Said it a billion times this offseason, you got to be able to walk before you can run. And we're just crawling right now. Beat Kentucky and Vanderbilt this year. Beat the bottom feeders. Beat the teams that we used to just take for granted around here that you were going to beat. Win those games, and I'm fine with, you know, pretty much whatever else happens this season. But you have to win those games, man. There's never any excuse. I don't care how many injuries you'd have. I don't care how much your talent has fallen off. I don't care how bad your coaching is. You should never lose to Kentucky or Vanderbilt here at Tennessee. 865-546-8200. A slow call day here this afternoon on the show. Everybody getting out of town for the weekend. I was on I-40 West out here today.
Packed.
Yeah. People getting that late July vacation.
That's a good one. That used to be when I'd go. I haven't been to the beach in forever.
I think I'm going during the season this year on the off week. Usually go right about now. Just have too much going on right now with the move and everything.
Yeah, but if you go on during that off week, isn't that at the height of hurricane season?
Well, we go to Charleston. There's been one major hurricane there. That was 30 years ago. Hugo. And there have been some small ones down there. I mean, yeah, it is. We're rolling the dice, but again, good thing about the modern weather prediction system, you see a hurricane coming 7 or 8 days out. If there is a hurricane coming to the beach when I'm supposed to be there, I will not be there when it gets there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I get that. I just, the only time I've ever planned a beach trip in September, October, it ended up getting smashed by some tropical storm, or I don't think it was a hurricane. So,
well, I'm not planning. I'm not one of these ride it out type guys.
Oh no,
I'm not one of these. Let's throw a hurricane party. You're the hurricane party. Let's get a bunch of beer and hunker down in the church or something. We'll throw a hurricane party. Like, no, actually, I think I'll cross that mountain range and get back here in East Tennessee. Keep a large physical barrier between me and the destructive power of Mother Nature. That's what I'm gonna do. Y'all stay out there and have your hurricane party.
Yeah, you know me. I barely leave town.
I'll be here with electricity, running water, and things of that nature. All right, I got some phone calls coming in now. Let's go to the McKinney team phone lines and talk to Josh. Josh, are the expectations of this fan base too high right now?
Probably so, but you know, it's hard to get excited and, you know, just come to the realization that you suck and you're going to finish behind Kentucky or Vanderbilt, you know. Everybody wants to be good, you know, but with that five-game stretch, I'm just not sure we've got enough depth to get through it healthy enough to be able to, you know, finish strong in November. And that's the key of the year, is coming out of at least the Alabama game fairly healthy. So I don't know if we can or not.
If you could make a deal with the football gods right now, that five-game stretch, you're talking Florida, Georgia, Auburn, Bama, South Carolina. If I could tell you 1-4, you'll win one game right now, would you take it?
Depends on who it's over.
No, just one game. It might be over Florida. It might be over South Carolina. You don't know.
Nah.
You're going to play them out with the chance that you could go 0-5. I'm taking the win. What about you, Josh? Is Josh there? Evidently not.
Should be. I don't know. He may be a bad connection.
Short and sweet phone call from Josh.
Hadn't heard from Josh in a while.
Yeah.
Good. I was wanting to ask him how the mood was down in Huntsville.
Good to hear from him, if only briefly.
Because there is a pocket of pretty good-sized pocket of UT fans in the Huntsville, Alabama area.
Love Huntsville. Let's get Titans Bill in here next. Good afternoon, Titans Bill. You're on the drive.
You know what I believe? You get a lot of these Georgia alums here that love to take a cheap shot at Jeremy Pruitt. Because I'll tell you why, they're scared. Just give him a few years and things is going to be turned around. But then again, I thought that way of Butch Jones. But this time, I believe he's
what's
real
different?
Deal.
What's different this time? You said you believed in Butch Jones. What's different this time with Jeremy Pruitt?
It's because he don't want to be buddy-buddy with the media. That's number one.
Okay.
Number two, he don't want to be buddy-buddy with the boosters. And number three, I believe he is one guy. When he gets out there in that playing field, he's going to mean business.
All right. Very good. Are we over?
Those are the reasons why right there.
Titans, Bill, are Tennessee fans, what's the question, Bear?
Do they have unreasonable expectations?
Expectations too high?
Did we lose Bill?
I'm right here.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Hearing what you've got to say, Bear.
I was waiting to hear the answer to Russ's question he asked you. Do you think our expectations are too high right now, Bill?
I believe the expectations are too high. But if he can finish at 7-5, which I believe he can, you know, hey, I feel it's a step in the right direction. If we go, let's say 5-7, I feel that will be a step in the right direction.
I mean, it'd be a one game improvement, but I'd be a little bit. Wouldn't you be disappointed with 5-7, though, Bill?
No, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't. I'll take it right now.
No, I would not. If we go 6-6 or 5-7, I wouldn't be one bit disappointed. Because it tells you right there that it's going to be a step in the right direction.
I would take 7-5 right now. I really would. I would take 7-5 and a trip to the Liberty Bowl or the music or the Belk Bowl or wherever they're going to send us. Get those extra practices for the young kids. Get that extra game. Utilize the red shirt rule and use that as a springboard to 2019. Right now, I'd take it.
All right. Let me ask you this, Dubsy. If we go 5-7, you'll probably say, "Well, his head needs to be on the chopping block."
No.
Not this year.
Not after 1 year, Titans, Bill. What do you take me for? Some kind of coach killer?
Well, I know one person that's a coach killer, and I'm glad I don't have to listen to his BS anymore, and that's the Cattleman.
Well, Titans, Bill, luckily you're amongst reasonable people this afternoon. Nobody's calling for Jeremy Pruitt. Listen, unless they go put up an over, unless they go like 2-10 this year, if Charlotte and UTEP come in here and slap us around, okay, that's one thing, but that's not going to happen. Titans, Bill, we're going to win at least 5 games, hopefully,
you know,
6 or 7.
Okay, we're going up against Randy Sanders,
Dandy Randy, the Colonel.
If we're not prepared to beat Randy Sanders, ETSU, there's liable a chance that they could come in and upset us.
I'll give you that, Titans, Bill. If Tennessee loses to ETSU, if Jeremy Pruitt has to walk across that field and shake a victorious Randy Sanders hand, then Philip Fulmer ought to be waiting for him in the tunnel with a pink slip. And you know what? At that point, you just go over back across to the other locker room and give the job to Randy Sanders, because if this guy, Jeremy Pruitt, can't get it done, I'm tired of it. I want a Tennessee guy. If we're going to lose, I want to lose with one of our own. I want a guy from Morristown who wore the orange, who's going to play big boy football. I'm tired of getting beat. If I'm going to get beat, I want to get beat with one of my own and not some Bammer or some Midwestern MAC coach or some Georgia college football aristocrat. I want a guy who's going to do it, who is one of us. That's what I want. Aristocrat,
because,
not aristocrats.
Look,
that's a Disney movie.
We nearly lost to Appy State. We nearly lost to UMass.
Butch Jones nearly lost to Appy State. Butch Jones nearly lost to UMass.
Don't put that mojo on Jeremy. Huh?
Don't put that mojo on Jeremy.
It was Butch Jones.
I'm not gonna
Bill,
put it on
thanks,
Jeremy.
Man. Appreciate the phone call.
You're
we got to run.
Misunderstanding me.
Thank you, Bill. We got to run. I love you. I really do, Titans, Bill. You're phenomenal this afternoon. We're going to take a quick break. It is The Drive. It is Fox Sports Knoxville. Live today at National Law Rex. Still got the Nature's Blend Vitamins 30% off. Come on out. Get healthy with us. this afternoon at National RX, 11-134 Kingston Pike. You can sign up for the Get on the Bus grand prize giveaway right here today at National RX. We're next to Wendy's on Kingston Pike in Farragut. Back with more after this.
The Drive. You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
Putting the finishing touches on our SEC Media Days coverage. I feel like we covered this event better than anybody else in town, Bear. What do you think? We had a lot of SEC Media Days coverage on The Drive this week. We played like three or four sound clips.
Yeah, we've given solid effort.
Absolutely. Bringing you the information, the hard-hitting news and information you just can't get anywhere else right here on Fan Run Radio. Reminder, know what you talk about today. That will return on Monday. Bears British Open leaderboard scoreboard update center coming up here at the top of the hour. We'll let you know what's going on at Carnoustie. Windy day over at Carnoustie.
A couple of guys went low.
Who's on top? Where's Tiger? Where are some of the other big names? Bear will have it all for you here in just a few moments in hour number two of The Drive. Check some of these Twitter polls for you this afternoon on the show at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter. Where will Tennessee finish in the East? 62% now say three or four. Fall fans feeling themselves. The media is picking us sixth, next to last. 62% of y'all think three or four. Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot Question Part Two. Are Tennessee fans' expectations too high? 60% say no.
Certainly not.
40% say yes. I don't know, man. I feel like some of y'all, not all, but I feel like there's some people out there setting themselves up for a little bit of disappointment. I think there are some people who think, we hired Jeremy. He's going to come in and sprinkle some Saban dust on it, and it's all going to be okay. We'll hold that thought. We'll get right back to that. Hour number two of The Drive coming up live from National RX. It's Fox Sports Knoxville. Stay with us.